Welcome to natschooler.com, and my name is Nathaniel Schooler, like a school with an ER.
Hi there, Mel. It's great to see you. We met over in Las Vegas when IBM took us out there to their Think Marketing event. And yeah, we're going to talk about retail today. I'm really quite excited. But before we get to that, I'd like to introduce you. You're Melissa Gonzalez. You are the founder of the Lionesque Group. And that's a multi-award winning firm of retail strategists. You're based in New York, right?
That's correct.
And you're also the author of The Pop-Up Paradigm, Building Human Connections in a Digital Age. And I'm really excited, actually, to talk to you because I used to be in retail for many years. I was in the prestige wine retail over in England. And yeah, I think it's quite an exciting time really in retail, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, having come from wine, you understand experiential. And I think that we're in a stage where, you know, traditional retail brands are really starting to understand the benefits of that. So it's been really fun helping, you know, our clients kind of have two buckets, digital natives looking to go into their first try at brick and mortar. So helping them with the physical manifestation of their online persona, right, is a really fun challenge and always something new we can bring to the table. But then also some of those traditionally wholesale distributed CPG brands that are now saying, we need experience locations. So you see brands like Kellogg's, right? Kellogg's Cafe now in Union Square, Manhattan, and you can go get, you know, your like Fruit Loops, whatever. And so it's a really fun time. It's not just transactional anymore.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I did hear something about some sort of a tea shop that was being created over here, like for one of the tea brands. Like I think it was Tetley's or something like that. But I think it's a very interesting time because of augmented reality and virtual reality and stuff like that. I think we're in a bit of a sort of transitional phase. I mean, we've always had the customer experience, haven't we? And we've always attempted to provide a good customer experience and, you know, really behave as an ambassador for the business, right? Which is old kind of habits, you know. But
yeah,
but it's kind of, I'm just interesting to sort of see what's going to happen in the next few years, because a lot of retailers have been struggling, haven't they? And I mean, I had someone ask me earlier on Facebook. I've got a question here. I'm going to just read out, which is quite interesting. It's a big question. We could talk about this for 3 or 4 hours, or I should imagine. So he says, please share the most effective strategies for retailers to increase sales, improve footfall, and enhance repeat business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's all about mind share. You know, they can buy anywhere. So you really want to focus on creating destinations that open their minds to, you know, what your brand is bringing to them. Like, it's not just about the product. It's the lifestyle that you're conveying. It's, you know, the added benefits that maybe they don't fully understand when they just see a product online or through their Instagram feed. And it's by creating those experiences that are those aha moments, you increase dwell time. And when you get somebody to spend more time with your brand, then you leave a deeper connection. And also think about, there's multiple senses in which you can interact with the brand, right? So there's one thing to see it, but then there's numerous tactile experiences. They could touch it. What are they listening to? What are they smelling? And just thinking of all of those sensory elements in your store help, because all of those will trigger them to remember the moments that they had in your store. I mean, I think of when I was younger, like, even if I didn't really need bread, if you walk by a bake shop and you smelt, right, the scent of bread baking, you like automatically think you want to eat it, right? Because it just triggers something with you emotionally. So the more brands can do that, the deeper the connection they'll have with their consumer, and it helps you kind of differentiate yourself from some of the other brands that they might be considering.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, do you think that businesses are doing enough to get customers to share content for them on social media?
I think they're doing it more and more, but you know, it's a tricky thing too, because I think it's interesting. There's definitely buckets of people that are online, right? There's always those first movers and influencers, and then there's kind of those micro communities that little kind of fall right after that, and then there's those late adopters, and kind of like what triggers each one of them to share is a little bit different. So, you know, really, I think brands are learning to be more and more targeted of understanding like what's going to motivate people and what's their call to action. And I think that's the important part you can't forget, is what is the call to action. So, and conveying that, right? You know, right now there's so many destinations in New York City and in LA and in Miami, like brands are just investing even in muraling the exterior of their stores. Because you create this beautiful imagery, and everybody today wants to be their own content creator. And so the more brands can empower that inner creative, then the more people, I want to share this, and then it goes through all of their feeds, and then they're like, where was that? I want to do that too. So I think it's like making sure you're investing in what's going to resonate with the target that you have, what's going to make them feel empowered. People think of experiences as currency today. So what are you going to do to like give them that experience? And then, you know, making sure you have that call to action, whether it's, you know, just share or share for your opportunity for X, Y, and Z. People always like to be rewarded in addition to sharing. So I think the mix of the two, if you can work that in, it's even more effective.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been going through my archives because I've had an interest in retail since, you know, I was 14. And I mean, my dad used to own a winery and we had a shop there and these kind of things. So I've recently just been digging out my archives from when I've just been traveling around the world and taking pictures of exciting displays and things. And actually, I mean, we have the most corny place in England called Blackpool. Okay. There's a place called Blackpool. And back in the old days, it was a really popular seaside resort. It's got a bit of a down market image nowadays. But back then, you would actually go to Blackpool and there would be this massive picture by the side of a business, for example. And it would have a cutout hole for your face, right? And it would have you dressed up in a really stupid outfit with your kids, and you could put your face down in the bottom here and look like an idiot, really. But back then it was so simple, and that's what people did, and they took the picture and then they took it home and this kind of stuff. And I've been looking, and the signage, right? I mean, I'm in Devon, yeah, and the signage for businesses is so backwards. Yeah, they are missing out on these massive opportunities. For example, they don't have their own hashtag. They don't say, you know, share this if you want to have a competition. We're going to have a competition this month. Every month we have one. Come back next month, take a picture, and if we choose your picture, you're going to have free entry, or you're going to have a free meal, or you're going to, you know, and these sorts of competitions are not done very often, and I think the opportunity for that is just huge. If you put all the pieces together, right, it's just so simple. Mm-hmm. But they're not getting it. They're not encouraging people to do these things. You know, I don't know about where you are. Is that something that you encourage yourself, or are you more online?
In pop-ups, I think that there's a lot more of a concerted effort to that, because it shows short-term, and you know, they want to motivate people to get as engaged as possible in a short window of time. I think that you know, sometimes it just depends on who's making those decisions. And I think, you know, when it comes to that store environment, it's really important that both the marketing and the merchandising teams are actually having these conversations,
right?
So that there's a collaborative effort on some of these decisions. Because they're not going to think the same way about the end goals, because they have different goals to achieve. So more and more, as you see companies, even the IT team, right? Like, you kind of need all of these teams to have these collaborative communications conversation about, okay, how are we going to be creative and how we touch our customer through these different channels, whether it's online or offline. And merchandising strategy is impacted by marketing strategy, and all of it's impacted by technology. And so, you know, I think you're starting to see a lot more of those conversations open up. And for the smaller businesses, they can be a lot more nimble towards that. And some of the bigger corporate entities, it's a little bit harder to get people out of their silos. But, you know, you're seeing major brands like Macy's trying to do that, right? Macy's really? Just acquired Story because they want to have experiential in store. They are putting a concerted effort towards influencer programs. They are, you know, integrating technology to connect the omnichannel, you know, online, offline, in store. So you're starting to see it, and I think they have to do it to survive. But, you know, the digital natives, I think, come more from that mindset. So when they go into physical, they just kind of have a little bit of a head start in that mentality.
Right. I get you. I mean, I think there are various different types of people. You know, not everybody really cares at all about social media sharing. So
right.
So what about the kind of immersion into the in-store experiences using, you know, glasses or mm-hmm. this kind of stuff? Is that something that you're seeing a lot in retail right now or not? I mean, I haven't personally seen any of it here, if I'm honest, but I don't go out shopping very often. So, you know, I'm kind of pretty busy. So what do you think?
You know, I think that VR is you are seeing VR and AR more. They are commitments, though. So, you know, brands can't just say, I want to add VR into the commitment to content creation. And, you know, it could run them $100,000 to do that. And they really need to think through the strategy. And I don't think you see it ROI as clearly across all industries. So mm-hmm. In certain verticals, you're seeing it more than others. You know, the tourism industry, the auto industry, like a lot of that makes a lot of sense because you're going to be taken on a test drive virtually. And
right.
And if you could simulate that, that's really helpful for auto companies. But, you know, in a clothing store, I don't go to a clothing store so I could virtually see the racks. Like, I go there so I can touch and feel the product. Right. So when I see those integrations in store, to me, it doesn't really solve the problem, you know, solve that gap. Augmented reality, on the other hand, is interesting for some companies where if I could try on a shirt and I get the fit, and I get to sit in that top and understand what's going to feel like, and then through the mirror, see it on me in different colors. That's a nice add-on because I did solve for fit. I did get to touch the fabric, but I don't have to take off my shirt 7 times. I could just see it in different colors. Hopefully that pigmentation's accurate to how the top's going to really look. But yeah, I think it's just understanding in which verticals it makes the most sense. And I think that there's a little bit ways to go with it at being affordable. And also, you know, brands just really have to be mindful of, they don't just integrate it, but they're collecting analytics on the other side of it. So they're understanding, and there's a lot of opportunities now, even in VR. They can track your eye and they can see where within the video are you spending the most time. So, you know, things from that and using it to always learn and iterate is important too.
Right. I think it's certainly quite an exciting time, but also probably quite scary for some retailers. I mean, you know, Argos over here, we've got a company called Argos that was just bought by the people that own Sainsbury's, right? The supermarket chain. So what they've done, they've taken a mail order. Well, it's not mail order. You call up and they have a warehouse and they have a very small front of the shop, and they go and look for your stuff in the warehouse. You pick it up and you take it home, right? So they've just created a in-store Argos inside the Sainsbury's supermarkets, which is a great move, actually, a great move. But I think, you know, whilst it's a great business and, you know, you get your stuff very quickly, I think it would be nice to, I don't know, make things a bit more exciting. Like, things are just a bit dull in a lot of retail, you know, and that's
I think, you know, some of it's like budget and infrastructure make it a little challenging sometimes. I mean, sometimes there's just like not the right quality, but you know, when you talk about the grocery market, I mean, that's definitely an example where, because Amazon bought Whole Foods, there's definitely tons of grocery brands saying, holy shit, you know, what are we going to do to make sure that we're defensive and proactively thinking about how we're going to be competitive, because Amazon's going to keep pushing the needle for these types of things. They have the money to experiment, but then they show consumers like us the possibilities. And so now you can't take that back, right? I know now that I can order something through voice activation. I know that I can have something to my house day. Like a lot of the things that they open the possibilities to now kind of help put the clock on for other brands in that vertical to say like, okay, how are we going to compete with that or deliver something similar to consumers that now know it's possible?
Yeah, I think it's just like the bar just keeps getting raised further, doesn't it? And they either have to keep up or they have to step out, really. I mean, it's very interesting, you know. I mean, I know you're big into technology as well, like I am, you know, because we're both in the IBM Futurist program, right? So in terms of like tracking customers in store on their mobile and, you know, providing vouchers and this kind of stuff. What do you know about like that kind of stuff? I'm not hugely knowledgeable about it, but.
I mean, I think that, you know, look, there's so much information that we can collect from your phone. It's a little tricky right now too, because they scramble MAC addresses. So every, you know, few minutes, it identifies me as a different device. So it's gotten a little trickier in that sense, like the most basic door counters that go in and tag your phone. There's a lot of inaccuracies and double counting, and you have to opt into the messaging that's being sent to you. It's not like they can just send it out if you didn't give the permission to. But with camera vision, it's getting a lot more interesting now because, you know, they're able to identify, you know, hundreds of points to say what, you know, the demographic is in the store and what the age range is in the store. And there's a lot of companies that are starting to experiment with facial loyalty programs. Again, you have to opt into that as well and say, yes, I give you permission to store that this is Melissa and you can message me. But yeah, a lot of that's coming. The key to it really is that you can't ever make people feel like you're just being tracked. You have to use it to deliver such a personalized experience that you delight people so much that they're okay with that give and take. You know, it's like, we all use Google today and we all use Amazon and they know more about us than almost anybody, but the benefit they give back in giving us the right search answers and, you know, suggesting products that makes the most sense to us and answering our needs before we even know we know have those needs sometimes, like that's what, you know, that's what opens us to be like, well, it's kind of, this is the world, right? So that's more and more what retailers have to understand. And I think that there's still a gap between the bells and whistles and you know, I need a door sensor, so I'll put it in, but not really a strategy around it. Or this is a really cool technology, let's integrate it in a store without fully thinking through, well, what does that mean for my customer? And, you know, how am I going to utilize that to deliver a more personalized experience? And so I think brands are getting more and more conscious of the fact that they have to think through that side, making sure that the technology makes sense for their audience and for their product offering, making sure that they fully understand, like, what is my customer's behavior now and how am I bringing technology in that enhances that? Because I think it's too much friction if you bring in a technology that makes them have to change how they behave. A lot of the times they won't do that. So I think it's getting a lot more attainable for stores to integrate it, but also a bigger stores or brands to either have an in-house team or bring in consultants to help them think through all of those elements so that the technology is very purposeful in the store.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I wrote a post about intrusive irritation, you know, is it personalization or is it actually going to really upset people by being too intrusive? And I think it's very different over where you are than over here. Over here, we're a lot more conservative. We don't, you know, I don't think we've really used personalization to an extreme level enough over here yet. And I think with GDPR coming on recently, that's caused some sort of problems for the marketers. But I think there are different attitudes. And over here, if you try to personalize something too much, you'll drive someone away completely unless they know what they're getting. And in retail, in store, I think it's so easy to do if you actually have a conversation with someone behind the till, right? Like you need to have people on the ground at the till. Yeah. It doesn't matter where they are, but they need, as far as I'm concerned, there's a disconnect, right, between the marketing department and the people on the ground. Yeah. Like, for example, I flew somewhere with BA, right? And they were trying to get me to download their BA app. So I was just like, well, why do I want another app on my phone? Yeah. And it's actually putting the culture together. That's my feeling of saying, right, there needs to be an educational program for the staff. Then there needs to be like some incentive-based encouragement, let's say, to encourage them to actually educate the customer and then bring them along through the journey. And that's something that I think personally, certainly I've found is missing in many stores. And then it goes back to actually how much are we paying these people? Because motivation is clearly linked to money, right?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When you think of staffing in stores and stuff, it is a question too. Like how much do you pay in-store staffers and what does that like commission structure look like? And for us, where we specialize a lot in pop-ups, it's actually tricky because, you know, the benefit a lot of times commission is you have the opportunity for clienteling and you build a customer base. And, you know, when you have a full-time position at a store, then having a commission makes a lot of sense because you're working towards that. And when you have a pop-up, you know, they tend to just get more per hour. And instead of those incentives of that, maybe they get credits to the brand and things like that. But it is, it's, you know, they're one of the most important touch points.
Yeah.
So you know the compensation is really important, and there really has to be a strategy around how you train them, how you compensate them. And I always say, like, you have to make them feel like they're an entrepreneur themselves within what you're doing, so that they feel like they're helping grow something, and just it has a bigger purpose than a 9 to 5. I'm coming in just to like man a store.
Yeah, very much so. So in terms of your pop-ups, you actually put those together for brands and also within stores, like within, so say I had a big store, like a department store, you would come in and you would put in there a display for a particular brand or what? What do you actually?
Yeah, we can do pop and shops. We are typically hired to do full stores, but we do have some clients that do pop. Sometimes it's a little trickier because of the limitations of being and what you're able to do. But I think department stores are getting more open to that because they see the benefits. And so, but yeah, we're hired as early as ideation. So somebody will call and say, I want to do a pop-up. I'm not sure how many, I'm not sure where, I don't know the format. And so we'll start with an idea phase and helping think through all those questions and what makes the most sense for that brand. And then once we kind of make some decisions, you know, what's the story of the store and how many cities and what format and what time of the year and what's the budget and stuff like that, then we'll dive into design. We do design in-house and then source everything once the design is signed off. And that sourcing is everything from design and decor pieces to technology integration, if that's something that we've decided upon, and then the store staff. And then we oversee production build out, and we're usually a collaborative effort and training the staff to making sure that, you know, they're ready for doors open. And then when stores open, the brands kind of, they run with it. We're not there day to day, depending on, sometimes depending on the length of the store, we might stay involved for some A/B testing, You know, if they're open 3 to 6 months, we might do some A/B testing on store layout, merchandising decisions, marketing events, and kind of give them some insights on that.
Right, right. That sounds fantastic. So what about you know, displays and things like outside the store? Do you kind of get involved with things like that, like signage and stuff, or?
Yeah, everything. Everything about the design we would oversee, and we would, you know, give them our advice on this is the store layout and this is the consumer journey we see, and here's a good signage moment, and it's a collaborative effort on what the copy is, just because, you know, they're from the brand themselves, but we'll say this is where we think it should go, and then we source and oversee the install.
Fantastic. That sounds like a lot of fun, actually. I must admit. I'm quite excited about it.
So, yeah, it's nice because you always get to see something created, you know? So it's nice to not just be part of the ideation, because it's nice to see it come to fruition.
For sure, for sure. Well, thanks ever so much for sharing your time. And I'll share this video around. I'll put a link to your website in the notes and things like this. So
To the website or to the book, The Pop-Up Paradigm. It's a quick read, you know. You could do it on a flight here. So it's a lot of it's not a how-to book. It's a lot of here's some brands that have done it. Here were the goals they were looking to achieve, and here's what we think was good about it.
Cool. That sounds superb. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for tuning in. If you've enjoyed today's episode, I'd really appreciate it if you told your friends and clicked and subscribed. Just pop your name and email in the box, and you will also get a chapter of my book, Cheers to You. Thank you for listening. Cheers.